It is my privilege to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wentley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today we have program number 200 in our series. The topic of this message centers around Jesus our judge. In fact, we'll just call it Judge Jesus. Again, this is message number 200 in our series, and I do hope that you will stay tuned to our program today because, as usual, you will have a very interesting perspective on Jesus, our judge. Now, because of the length of today's message, we're going to get right to this message instead of going to our usual special music. So, here is Pastor Wentley Phipps with the title, Judge Jesus.
I hope you got your seatbelt fastened. The Lord has shown some very unusual things to me in the Word this week, and I come now to share them with you. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. The book of Daniel, chapter 7. Praise the Lord. Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9. Verse 9. Bible says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Praise God for his word. Over the last few days, this nation has been watching the most riveting courtroom dramas of its history. And like the rest of the nation, we wait with bated breath the historic ruling of the highest court in the land. It was amazing to see people camp out for 2 days in the cold just to get an opportunity to be in the courtroom on that historic day. I must tell you that over the last few years, America has developed a fascination with courts and courtroom proceedings. And if you've ever been to a courtroom as a defendant or a juror, you know that it is a time of great tension and anxiety. Not long ago, I stood with my very best and closest friend as we awaited a verdict from the jury. They had been accused of accidentally ramming their vehicle into the back of this person's automobile. The only problem was it was not true, and there was not even one scratch or dust removed from the other person's bumper, that vehicle that was supposed to have been struck. What a relief to hear that the jury understood the facts and came back with a not guilty verdict. I was in the courtroom that day. If you've ever heard a jury say not guilty to something and someone that is close to you, it's a blessing. Amen. I must tell you that until this crazy, spurious claim was brought against my closest friend, I did not realize how litigious our society had become. I didn't realize that people today will haul you into court for any and everything. Sometimes they'll haul you into court for no reason at all. One lawyer recently wrote, "People are no longer interested in fair compensation when they are wronged. They just see it as a way to get rich quick." Another lawyer said 20 years ago, when someone standing on a street corner got their hands bruised by a passing bus, They used to say, thank God I'm alive. Now they're saying, thank God now I can get rich if I sue. Not long ago, a woman won a $1 million lawsuit against McDonald's because the coffee she got at the drive-thru, which she spilled on herself, was too hot. And then there was a man in New York City who a few years ago attempted suicide by jumping in front of a subway car. He failed to kill himself, but still he brought suit against the city of New York and won a $650,000 judgment, $650,000 judgment, because their train hit him and didn't kill him. What a world we live in. Brothers and sisters, this nation is obsessed with courts and courtroom dramas. Did you know that the United States leads the world in the amount of lawyers they have per capita and the amount of litigation brought each year? As a matter of fact, in the United States, there are about 1 million lawyers. That means more lawyers need more cases or they don't work. Amen. Many have asked, why are there so many lawyers in America? The state of Delaware alone, with a population of 750,000 people, has more attorneys than the whole nation of Japan, that has 125 million people. Nowadays, here in America, we seem more and more inclined to settle all conflicts, large or small, in court. Last year, over 125 million lawsuits were filed. And what's scary is that there are people deciding your fate. Many of them don't know what they're doing. Some years ago, when Clarence Darrow was a young lawyer, he was presenting a suit for damages in a civil court in a small town. The jury that was selected appeared to be a little lower than average in intelligence to him. However, one man seemed a little more together and superior to the rest, and would probably be elected, he thought, as the foreman of the jury. So throughout the case, this attorney concentrated on this man and addressed all his oratory to this one man. The case finally went to the jury, and after an unusually long wait, the jury filed in, and that attorney saw that his hunch was right. The man he thought would be the foreman of the jury was indeed the foreman. Gentlemen, said the judge, have you reached a decision? No, Your Honor, answered the foreman. We've come back to ask for some information. There are two words which have been used throughout this trial which we don't know the meaning of. What are they, asked the judge? One word is plaintiff and the other is defendant. Brothers and sisters, the lawsuit explosion has also hit the church.
Yes, that's right.
Recently, a pastor sued his denomination for age discrimination. I heard of a pastor who sued his own church and the church board, claiming they were interfering with the performance of his duties.
Mercy.
Have mercy, Jesus. The board of trustees of a church in Louisiana the other day filed suit to remove their pastor from his position. A few days later, another group claiming to be the real trustees filed a countersuit asking that those who had filed the previous suit be removed as church members. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? One day, a father overheard a commotion outside his window. He looked out the window and saw that it was his little girl playing with some friends. And then he heard their voices getting louder and louder and more heated and argumentative. The dad pushed the window open and said, "You girl, stop that fighting." His little girl looked up and said, "But daddy, we're just playing church." Sadly, fighting and suing and taking each other to court has become a way of life for Christians. How many times I hear of church members, "I'll take you to court." Sometimes Christians need to have the faith to believe that if they take the high road, God will handle the situation. I read about a man who lent another Christian some money. And he was having trouble getting the money back, getting the man to pay the money back. So he talked to the man about the matter, and still he would not pay the money back. He went to the deacons. They talked to the man, but still he wouldn't pay. Finally, one day, the man who had borrowed the money received a receipt in the mail for the money he had borrowed. Surprised, he called the lender, the man he owed the money to, and asked why he had sent him a receipt when he had not paid the money back yet. The man who lent the money said, "I did everything I could to get you to pay the money back. So I talked to the Lord about it. I told him all about the situation. And God told me to forget it. That he would pay me back himself and collect it from you." What a God we serve. Someone has written, "To dwell above with saints we love, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, that's a different story." We as Americans are no longer strangers to those sobering words, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. All rise." Court's in session. Today I want to take your minds off of Judge Joe Brown and Judge Judy. And for the next few moments, I want you to focus on another judge, yes, Judge Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, one day the entire universe will become a courtroom. Everyone who has ever lived will be subpoenaed to appear before the Supreme Court of all Supreme Courts. A great and mighty angel will announce, "All rise." And that's what Daniel saw. He said, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Judgment was set, and the books were open." Church, that one that the Bible speaks of was like the Son of Man. You still have your finger in that text? "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days." The Ancient of Days is the Father. Are you with me today? The one who was like the Son of Man is Jesus. And then verse 14 says, "There was given him" what? Dominion. What? Dominion and glory and a kingdom. Timothy calls him the righteous judge, Judge Jesus. The Bible calls it the day of God. There is no doubt in my mind that we are drawing near to what the Bible calls the day of God. We are living in a time when the great decisions of eternity are upon us. No longer is that day of the Lord something in the dim and distant future. We are living in a time when the Master is standing at the door. And to those who have clear eyes and sober minds, to those who are reading not just from the Washington Post and the New York Times, but from the pages of the prophets, we know that the day of the Lord is looming before us as a sure certainty. And these words ought to keep ringing in our ears. Joel 1:14, "Sanctify a fast, gather the elders, for the day of the Lord is at hand." And Malachi 3:2, "But who may abide? Who may abide?" Isaiah 13:6, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand." Many decades ago, the servant of the Lord wrote these words. She said, "I've been shown that the retributive judgments of God are already in the land. The Lord has given us warning of the events about to take place. Troublous times are on us. The signs of the times reveal that the day of the Lord is soon to come. The daily papers are full of indications of a terrible conflict that is in the near future. Strikes are common, thefts, murders are committed on every hand. Men possessed by demons are killing men and women and little children. The taking of human life is a matter in America of daily occurrence." This past week, I was on my way to pick up my son from school. I had just gone through the Fort McHenry Tunnel in Baltimore, and I was inching forward to pay my toll when in the lane next to me, I saw three policemen running towards a car with their guns drawn. I sensed that something awful was about to happen, and I don't like to be around stray bullets. They are indiscriminate. They don't think. They don't care who they hit. I tried to put my head down, try to drive looking through the steering wheel. I tried to steer my vehicle over as far off to another lane as I could. I wanted to get as far away from the situation as I could. I noticed the policeman began shouting and gesturing for this motorist to stop. But for some reason, he just kept inching and moving towards the toll booth. Suddenly, the police opened fire in front of my eyes. It sounded like a firefight, a shootout, something out of the Wild Wild West. Pop, 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 just like that. 13 deadly shots. And when they pulled a man's body out of the car, on the other side of the toll booth, he was dead. I must tell you, I've never in all of my life been that close to a shootout before. Neither have I ever seen a man killed a few feet from me. But the most disturbing part of it was how eerily normal it all seemed to most of the people who were just waiting to pay their toll. Within 5 or 10 minutes, we were motioned to pay our toll, and we were on our way. The fact that a man had just been killed a few feet away from us was almost inconsequential, because everybody had their schedule. Everybody had a schedule. They found out later that the man was emotionally disturbed and had not stopped taking his medicine. There is no doubt in my mind that we are nearing the end of time. I ask you today, what more evidence could God give us? Right now, the whole earth is groaning beneath our feet. The moral and political corruption around us ought to leave us breathless. You would have to be completely blind spiritually and dead in trespasses and sins not to know that what God said in his word would happen is happening right before our very eyes. In every newspaper, every headline, every television news hour, God's word is being fulfilled. From the rise of the world's great empires, God has spelled it out. There are signs in the natural world. The Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his prophets. And I, like so many other Americans, have been watching this courtroom drama. And I've been trying to make sense of this election and how the Supreme Court will vote. And somehow, mysteriously, God led me to a text of scripture. I want to show it to you. It blew my mind. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah. What book did I say? Isaiah. It's a text of scripture that speaks of a judgment God was passing on the nation of Judah. But before I give you the text, you know, throughout this whole election, my wife has been saying, God knows.
Yes, he does.
God knows. Amen. Sometimes, listen carefully, just the person we want to lead the nation, God puts in place the other man as judgment for the sins of the nation. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, Lord, I know you're rushing to this text here now. Isaiah chapter 3. And let me read it to you first in the Revised Standard Version. It says, for behold, the Lord of hosts, is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah stay and staff. In other words, God is taking away the support. And the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. That means all our supply. God is going to make it dry up in judgment. And in verse 2, he'll take away what? The mighty man and the soldier, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder. He'll take away the captain of 50, the man of rank, the counselor, and the skillful magician, and the experts in charms. And let me read it the way that King James says it. This will blow your mind. God says, and I will give children to be their princes. And babes shall rule over them. Brothers and sisters, God brought judgment against Judah because they had adopted many of the pagan practices of neighboring nations. Idol worship doesn't always consist of bowing down to carvings of gold and silver. An idol is anything which in any way takes the place of God in your life. Many of us worship the gods of our good intentions, and we never really become sold out, totally committed. It's one thing to make a mistake in your Christian life, but it's another thing to live with the philosophy that you can decide when you're going to be a Christian or not. You don't have the option to decide, I'm going to be a Christian today and I'm not going to be a Christian tomorrow. If you are surrendered to the claims of Christ, you do not have the option to say, I will be a Christian at 1 in the afternoon, but don't look for me to be a Christian at 7. Our nation, in many ways, has been given over to idolatry, and it should not come as a surprise. If God wants to judge this nation, I know some of you are praying, Lord, let this one win. Lord, let this one lose. But you don't know. Maybe God wants to judge the nation. And the way he judges a nation is by removing from their midst wise, mature leadership. By the way, he does it to churches too. Sometimes God will judge a church, judge a situation by removing from their midst wise, effective, spiritual leadership. Woo! Lord, am I telling the truth this morning? And I will give children to be their princes. And babes shall rule over them. Brothers and sisters, when God judges a nation by removing godly and wise leadership, that nation suffers confusion and chaos. My prayer this morning is that God, with judgment, if he is going to judge our nation, that he will remember mercy. Amen? God, remember mercy. I saw in the night seasons, the one who sat, the Ancient of Days. So the Ancient of Days is whom? Come on, the Ancient of Days is whom? The Father. The one like the Son of Man who came to the Ancient of Days is whom? Judge Jesus. Who is he? Judge Jesus. Now, when the court's in session, Judge Jesus is presiding. The angels of God are present as ministers and witnesses. Sinful men are not present to witness this part of the judgment. It is the Father and the Son and the holy angels who compose this grand assembly. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus cannot act as our judge and our high priest at the same time. So that's why he takes off his priestly robes, puts on the robe that his Father gives him, the robe of authority. It is his coronation. You are reading about in Daniel there, his coronation. And now, the Bible says, Michael will stand up. When he stands up, he is standing as judge of the world. The standing up of Michael is the assumption of kingly power. Brothers and sisters, God also has a Supreme Court. Amen. 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 And the Bible says we are all going to appear before that court. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Every secret thing. One day a grocer heard a voice over his phone saying, "I sent my little son James to your store for 5 pounds of apples, and I find on weighing them that you sent only 4.25 pounds. The grocer said, "Madam, my scales are regularly inspected and are correct. Have you weighed your little boy?" Oh, but someday, thank God, Judge Jesus is not only a judge. I said, thank God, there's a way out. Amen. He will step down. Oh, Lord, are you listening to me? The judge steps down and stands beside the accused. Amen. And the judge says, my blood, forgiven.
I hope that you enjoyed and understood today's message. I want to thank Pastor Phipps for that very special message. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church Office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. You will want to ask for program number 200 today. That's program number 200, which will give you the title, Judge Jesus. And until next time, my name is Adrian Westney. I hope that you will, as always, remember that God loves you. Join us again for another program. But until then, please remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."